Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew, chapter 16. We're going to read verses 13 through 18 together. Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 18. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, we sure do need you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for our church family. Lord, thank you for what you have done for us here, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people saved, the lives that have been touched, the people that we're about to reach. Lord, would you please, in a very unique way, would you help our church? Lord, would you help us as we endeavor to go to new heights, to do more for you? Would you use this truth tonight to help our church, please? In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated.
Once I a slave to sin and chains to bear, my master was a sword, I lived in fear, but there was one whose love reached out to me and paid the price in full at Calvary. I am forgiven, I am made free, I have been bought by the costly price of Calvary. My Savior bled and died, now I am justified, now freely all my life I'll give to Him. This world of sin and strife thinks no one cares, but God so loved the world, no cost He spared. He sent His only Son, who joyfully bore all our griefs, give us liberty. I am forgiven, I am made free, I have been bought by the costly price of Calvary. My Savior bled and died, now I am justified, now freely all my life I'll give to Him. I am forgiven, I am made free, I have been bought by the costly price of Calvary. My Savior bled and died, now I am justified, now freely all my life I'll give to Him. Now freely all my life I'll give to Him.
You know, Brother York, if you were a gentleman, you'd have let her, you'd have played that thing and let her sing without having to do both. I have, for some reason, the Lord has my lot, I guess. I don't know what to say. I'm not necessarily a pastor's pastor, as many have been, but I know a lot of preachers. And for some reason, I talk to a lot of preachers. They call me, they call regularly, and I keep in touch with them. And recently, I was talking to several different preachers in different states, and seems like there's a common theme that has come up. And I began to look at things, began to ask the Lord why, and one day it hit me. And I realized the face of what I'll call fundamentalism has changed. In the last 30 years, fundamentalism has changed a lot. And I would say this generally not for the better. I'm going to make some statements tonight. I really don't think I'm going to preach. I'm preaching to our church. You say, why? Because we're not going that direction. We're just not going to go that direction. I think I put my finger on how it happened and why it happened and how we're not going to go that way. And if you'll listen to me, I think I can help us. Probably the greatest statement I'll make tonight is this: Jesus founded the church. If that's all you got something worth coming for. Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me say this very carefully. Jesus started the church with a group of people called the disciples. That was started here in Matthew 16. He was talking to the disciples. They were a called out local assembly of people. By the way, he started a local church. He did not start a universal church. Mr. Schofield's wrong. The modernists are wrong. We don't make up the bride of Christ. Everybody that gets saved is not the bride of Christ till the rapture takes place and we get to heaven. Till we're all called out into one assembly, there's no such thing as the bride of Christ yet, just so you know. All right? Now, by the way, universal church, an invisible church, that's Catholic doctrine. The word Catholic means universal, means one. Okay? That started with the Catholic Church, just so you know. Fundamental independent Baptist churches dotted America from the beginning. I loved being up in the New England area and looking at all these little old church buildings along the way. I got into Brother Seavey's church building. I promise you, Brother Seavey's whole building could fit in this half of our auditorium. I mean, and he's got a PA system. I thought, what'd you do that for? I can holler louder than that. Matter of fact, I didn't even know if it was on, but he had it there. Amen. In little churches like that's where Baptist churches have been all along. They started in storefront buildings, filled them up, bought a piece of property, put a bunch of boards together, slapped a roof on it, keep the rain off their head in the summer, tried to put some walls up to keep them a little bit warm in the winter, put the turbo heaters out there until the preaching started and turned it off and snuggled close to those that were married to each other and got through it, amen. Slapboard benches, soap boxes, you name it, they sat on it. They didn't have the fancy buildings. It was not a denomination. It was a man of God who went out and just pilgrimed his way and carved out a notch in a place in America and said, I'm just going to claim this part of the country and going to knock on doors. That's how it was started. By the way, that's the way it's supposed to be started. Now, Baptists have turned, and please don't get mad at me for saying this, and I'm going to squelch some philosophies of the last 30 to 50 years a little bit here. But Baptists have turned almost Catholic in organization. We have the American Baptist Convention, the Southern Baptist Convention, the General Association of Regular Baptists. We have the Northern Baptists. We have the Baptist Bible Fellowship. We have it all. Southern Baptist Convention. We have turned Catholic in our organization. Folks, I'm an independent, fundamental, soul winning, temperamental, bus route running Baptist someday, amen. Don't have buses yet, but we will someday. Now, wait a minute. What's changed? I hate to tell you, but Charles Spurgeon didn't need to go to a convention. He didn't have a fellowship of preachers. He was just a man of God that turned England upside down for God. Baptists have come into this convention, or in modern days, fellowship mentality. You have to understand something. The Baptist Bible Fellowship started because the Southern Baptists turned liberal. So instead of organizing into a formal convention, they said, well, let's just all stay together as friends and we'll do the same thing. We just won't call it a convention. Now, most of those churches, I wouldn't even step my foot in the door. They're the rock music crowd. They're the liberals. They're the ones that have their praise and worship service. They've got their drums and they've got their electric guitars and they've got it all. J. Frank Norris would turn over in his grave, and G.B. Vick and all those men that started that stuff. They didn't realize they were doing the same thing. Now, listen, actually, it wasn't J. Frank Norris, I'm sorry. We've gotten this mentality that we've got to get together as churches. Folks, I'm independent because I don't need anybody telling me what to do. I will refer to something here in a moment. You say, well, what about Brother Hiles? He had pastor school. It wasn't a convention. Pastor school was started because God was using a man of God. They kept bothering him so much. He said, look, I got people coming every week and bother my staff. Let's have 1 week. We'll bring them all here because they're wanting to learn what we're doing. And then they came by the scores. And then more people found out about it. And that's where that started. Listen to me very carefully. Now we've trained a generation that knows what to do, but they still want to get together and go back to the convention mentality. They used to go to a pastor's conference to learn what somebody else was doing. Now we know what he taught us. Most of us graduated from his college. Everybody doing okay? Okay. Fundamentalists are now building buildings to please the country instead of do something for God. We have to have certain programs in our church or we're not considered a fundamentalist. Grace Baptist Church was not started for America. Grace Baptist Church was started to reach this area. My title, what happened to local churches? What's happened to the local New Testament Baptist church? Our church was started to reach Berkeley, Jefferson County, Martinsburg, Ranson, Charlestown, Inwood, all these little hick joints around here too, Boonesboro, Williamsport, Hagerstown, Winchester, and all every area in between. By the way, just so you know, I did not start this church for men in America to say, wow, look what he's doing. I got men in America that say, what in the world are you doing? They're mad at me. I don't give a flip. I didn't start it for them. Started because God said start a church right here. By the way, we better do it God's way and not man's way. I refuse to be unfriendly and unethical with other churches. By the way, any church. Did you catch that? I refuse to be unethical. I have folks that visit our church from time to time from other churches in the area. You know what? I don't follow up on them. I don't go visit them. There's family that's come here. They came from another church. I said, look, I'm glad you're here. I won't come visit you. Matter of fact, there's probably about 8 or 10 families like that. I said, if you're a member of another church, I won't come visit you, just so you know. You join my church, I'll come visit you. Because you go to another Baptist church in the area, I won't come visit you. Yes. Say why? And by the way, I won't send anybody else to visit you. Right. I want that on record, just so you know. And I've talked to the other local pastors. They know it. I've told them. Say why? Because I'm not here to take somebody else's church members. Now, if they come, you're welcome. I want you to come. I really do. I think we have the greatest church in town. If I didn't think so, I wouldn't be here. Say, you know, that's kind of like a mother saying, well, I got 3 good kids, but the 4th one, forget it. Now, there's days you feel that way, and it changes from day to day. But you say, no, those are my kids. Well, this is what God has for me to do. If I didn't think it was the best thing, you don't want me for your pastor. Listen to me very carefully here. I will be friendly. I will be ethical with local folks, but I hate to tell you something. We're not going to be trotting all over the country going to everybody's conferences. Did you hear that? Everybody doing okay? We're building a church to meet our needs and the needs of this area. We're not building a church to have conferences. I had a pastor tell me this last week. He said, good night. Can you imagine the size conference you could have at your church? I said, I ain't having one. He said, "You're not going to have a conference?" I said, "No, I need to reach Martinsburg. I didn't need to worry about the country." I said, "I plan on reaching enough people, sending preacher boys and preacher boys' wives out so that they can go out and change this country the way God intended it to be done, not by a bunch of stupid conferences." I said, "I'm conferenced out." I had a pastor this last week. He said, "Brother Bush, which conference are you going to?" I said, "None." He said, "You're not going to conference? Where do you go?" I said, "My office. Amen. Get my face in the book and conference with God." Amen. Our church is going to have meetings for our church. I can't tell you that there might not come a day where we might not invite somebody to come to something, but it's not in the near future, just so you know. Say why? What do we need it for? Well, we can fellowship. Go out and go soul winning and get some new converts and fellowship a while. We got seed in the barn going bad because we're not doing anything with it. We want to go from conference to conference to conference instead of going soul winning and reaching people. Told you we're going down around town with the top down. I didn't tell you I had a loudspeaker on tonight, though. And don't worry, ladies. I just started with this in my notes. We don't need a bunch of ladies' conferences. We need our ladies to go out and reach people. Now, I'm for having our ladies' meetings. We're going to have 3, 4, 5 ladies' meetings a year, and we're going to have fun with it. But what do we need people from Timbuktu, God knows where, coming here? Well, we just need to know there's other people out there. There's 300 million people in America. There's people out there. Don't worry about it. Guess what? There's other Christians out there. You're right. But they're supposed to be doing there what we're doing here. Why do we have to get together all the time so that we can encourage ourselves? That's what the preacher's for, and that's what the church is for. Well, I don't have enough people my own age. Well, then go out and reach them. You reach enough of them, I'll let you teach their Sunday school class. It's that simple. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen, Brother Bush. We don't need men's conferences. We don't need promise keepers or promise breakers. We need just regular old Baptist church and our men to get together every once in a while, shoot some gunpowder off, blow holes in something, and eat like hogs and have fun. Amen. I still say somebody needs to develop spent gunpowder cologne. Amen. Got to do it somewhere. I'm probably going to get in trouble, but here we go. I'm not taking our teenagers all over the country to go from conference to conference to conference to conference. Number one, I don't have one that I can even really recommend wholeheartedly. Number two, what in God's name do we need to trot them all over the country for? Because it's been the thing to do. So? Okay. What happened to the local church? I'm not against people having conferences. By the way, I've been a part of national conferences for the last 27 years of my life. I have probably hosted somewhere in the neighborhood of 75 to 80 national conferences in some shape, form, fashion, or another. And God knows I have fed about 14 billion people in those conferences. But may I say this, fundamentalism has changed face, especially in the last decade, to where we build our church based on the country, not what our local area needs. If someday God says you're supposed to have a conference, we'll have the conference. But until then, I'm not worried about no stupid conference. I don't have a conference file in holding for vision plan, amen. Say, what conference are you going to have? Sunday school. Sunday morning preaching. Sunday night preaching. Wednesday night and soul winning. We'll have activities. We're going to have youth activities, ladies activities, men's activities, kids activities. We're going to do it all. We'll have fun. We'll build it for what our church needs. God knows we can have the world's most colossal indoor playground back here. Amen. Man, we can build a playground indoors, rain or shine, where they could break any leg, amen? Don't tell the insurance people that. Why is it that we feel we've got to get together? I'm going to make a few observations and be done. Number one, we will not build buildings to please the country. I have noticed that the average Baptist church has gone from storefront to ugly looking building like we got to where now we, if you don't have brick and colonial columns, you are nothing. Hello? Dr. G.B. Vick told Brother Hiles, church is supposed to be a people factory. Guess what? This is the epitome of a people factory. This is it, baby. This is what he was talking about. By the way, this is what it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to have the, and I'm not against things being nice. I can't wait for the day we get new carpet, amen, but I'm not putting it in until we sign all the papers, amen. I'm for doing all the nice things, but I hate to tell you something. We're not going to colonialize the building. We might put some nicer paint on the building and spruce it up a little bit, but folks, the outside of the building is not for the country. Everybody doing okay? I don't care what they got cross town, cross country, cross state, cross anywhere. I don't look at it. We're not going to go the way of the multi-million-dollar colonial style building. We're going to go the way of the almost multi-million-dollar warehouse building. Used to be, you just carved out a building, build it, slat by slat, cleaned out a barn. I know churches that started in bars. They'd mop up the floors and sweep out the beer bottles and the vomit and everything else. The preacher get to church early on a Sunday morning, clean it out, put new light bulbs in, clean up the blood off the from all the fights and everything else, and have church. I preached in a church. I had a wedding in a church yesterday that used to be an old bar. Preached in a church in Winthrop, Maine that used to be an old bar. I was so happy for those guys. I said, man, they're carving it out. I said, can you imagine the size bar we could have at my church? By the way, we're not going to have the high-tech California theater-style church either. I'm tired of churches looking like movie theaters. Okay, I'll get into trouble on that one, but I don't give a rip. God did not intend, we're not going to have recliners. Now, if I need to bring one in because that's the only way somebody can sit in church, and by the way, you'll buy your own then if that's the way you're going to do it, but we'll get you in here. Mrs. Bulkley last week, she's got severe spinal issues. And she was probably going to end up missing church if she had to sit on one of these. I said, good night, Josh. Tell them to use my chair in my office. They said, they won't do it. That's the preacher's chair. She won't do it. We had to find a chair for her to sit in. She didn't want to feel awkward. I said, good night. We're just home folk, amen? They said, no, that's your chair. I can't do that. We got another chair in here. I don't care what it takes. If I got to bring you in the hospital bed and leave you out in the hallway, we'll do it. Then after you croak, we're going to bring your casket in here and preach your sermon, amen? Wait a minute. I don't care if you got to sit in a wheelchair. I don't care if we got to push you in, pull you in, drag you in, or gut you first, amen? You just show up at church. We'll be first class. And by the way, I'm for being first class, but we're not going to be fancy, uppity, snooty people either. Just so you know. You say, well, how are you going to attract the wealthy? By reaching people. By reaching people. Here we go. I'm not going the way of the orchestras in church. Now, I'm for instrumental music, and I like it. I played trumpet. I played trombone. I played baritone. I played a few other things that I shouldn't have probably even played, but I played with them. Amen? I'm for those things, but modern fundamentalists have gone the way of the highbrow orchestra music to attract the intelligent, the worldly crowd, the uppity crowd, and we've forgotten the regular people. Just so you know, I'm not against violins being played at church, but play it like a fiddle instead of violin, amen? No, I'm for it being played right. But I hate to tell you, we're not going to have a 30-piece orchestra and timpanis and kettle drums set up in our church someday. Not happening. Say, are you against those things? I'm not against them, but let's use them as special music every once in a while. But it's not going to be the focal point. Everybody doing okay? Okay. Our buildings are going to be styled after the great church builders of the 1800s and 1900s, not the modern contemporary mega junk. And I said it right, mega junk. Everybody okay? You might not like the styles I pick. You might not like the colors I pick. But guess what? I know what great church builders picked and it worked. Why change the recipe? Everybody's got a new method. The old ones work quite well. I guess after we pass about 25,000 people in church, we can go ahead and tell Brother Hiles he was wrong. But until then, we might as well just copy it. Everybody okay? Okay, here we go. Sunday school is still going to be the center of the attraction, amen? Number two, I better rehearse number one. Number one, we will not build buildings to please the country. We're going to build them to build people. Number two, our programs will meet our needs, not to keep up with the Joneses cross state. Well, Brother Bush, do you have this program? Nope. What do you got? Sunday school? Well, do you have this program? Nope. What do you got? Preaching. Folks, we're not going to have parachurch organizations and parachurch programs in our church. We're going to use the Bible. I'm not having RU. I don't need a 12-step program for reforming drug addiction and alcoholism. Say, what do you need? You need to preach a snot out of people and preach a sin out of them. That's a parachurch organization. Okay, I said it. By the way, they didn't have RU in the 1950s, and Brother Hiles dried out a whole bunch of drunkards. J. Frank Norris cleaned up a whole bunch of bars and drug addicts. Everybody doing okay? Okay, here we go. We're not going to start a daycare to make money for the church. Mama, stay home with the babies. If you can. I understand. There's time when both folks have to work, and I understand that. But I hate to tell you, the only way we're starting a daycare is if God strikes me stupider than I am now. There ain't no way. I know church after church after church that start daycares to make their building payments because there's money to be made. We're not a money-making organization. We're a gospel-preaching church. Okay, here we go. I plan on starting van routes here soon. We're going to buy a van before too long. Deacons are going to vote on it next week. Hint, hint. So if we don't have it, it's their fault, not mine. Amen? Now, wait a minute. But whatever happened to filling your car now? I was talking Brother Rick Walter up in Maine this week. He said, you got a bus yet? I said, nope. Didn't even have a building. I still haven't even signed the papers for sure. I said, I'm not starting something I can't keep up with. I said, Rick, they had Pentecost, never had a bus one. He said, ooh, good point. I got people pushing me by a second bus. He said, I don't have the workers or the space. I said, are they filling their cars up? He said, not yet, but they're about to be. Yeah, buddy. Now, hang on there. We're going to buy and grow as we can accommodate it. Okay? Could we go out and pick up 100 people for church and buses? Sure could, but who's going to teach them? Where are we going to put them? Have you been in these Sunday school rooms on Sunday morning? They're a little tight. Well, just build more. Okay, you get more. I plan on having a choir. As soon as we can get it. Everybody doing okay? Okay. And let me just say it this way. I don't plan on traveling the country to see what everybody else is doing. I'm going to make a statement here that's going to sound arrogant. I'm going to apologize in advance if it sounds arrogant. I don't mean it to be. But let me say it this way. I spent 27 years under Dr. Jack Hiles and Dr. Jeff Owens. What do I need to travel the country for? Worked pretty well for them. Why change it? By the way, I don't want to go the way everybody else is in the country. I want to stay the old-fashioned way. I don't need to go around from this conference in California to that conference to this conference to this conference. Well, you need a leadership conference. Show me that in there. Everybody doing okay? I've been trained by the best. Now, I might not do it exactly the way they did it and as well as they did it, but I know what they did, and I'll get it figured out. I sat at their feet. I sat in the meetings. I have spent tens of thousands of hours with them. I know what to do. Some of you think I don't know what I'm doing, but there's a reason we don't have everything going all at one time right now. Could I start 5 more Sunday school classes? Yes. Could I guarantee that we're going to have them 6 months from now? No. Till we sign the papers on a building, I couldn't guarantee we were going to have a place to meet next week. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So why start something until you know you can sustain it for the rest of the time? I don't want to start something and go backwards. So I'd rather take our time. We'll get there. Believe me, once this thing starts rolling full blast, ain't nothing stopping it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Number 3, I'll be friendly to other men of God, but I don't need their approval. Just so you know, I don't call around the country to get somebody's approval to do something. Say, who do you call? God. God. And I don't even really know why it started, but it did, Brother Tom. About second week I started pastoring this church, I guess I was just scared to death. And I texted a couple preachers that I know from around the country and said, I'm praying for you. Hope you pray for me. Well, there's about 6 or 8 of us every Sunday morning now. For the last 10 months, we've been texting each other early Sunday morning. And it's gotten to be a competition who's up first to do it. And it's great. You know, every one of those men have said, Brother Bush, it is so refreshing every Sunday to know somebody's been praying for you, a bunch of preachers. And there's no gossip. There's nothing like that. It's just a matter of, hey, I love you. I'm praying for you. Mind your pulpit filled with the Holy Ghost. Let God's power and love flow through you. I mean, just little things like that. That's all it said. Can I tell you how fun that is? Guess what? I don't call them for approval. I don't call them and say, do you think I ought to preach this? How could somebody in New Jersey or Blacksville, West Virginia, or Maine, or Texas, or any other state know what our church needs? How could they know? They don't. They're trying to figure out what their people need. How could they figure out what our people need? Boy, that's good stuff. I don't answer to them. By the way, I'm not going to have somebody speak behind this pulpit that does not believe our way. Thank God for a man named Niall Bulkley. Wasn't he refreshing? Just a common, ordinary cowboy. He's a nut, let me tell you. He's a mess. I just love the guy. And yet, as soon as he gets done, you think, man, he was throwing daggers. That was sharp. You think, you know, he just had that little Brother Mike about him. He did it with a smile and made you like him. And all of a sudden you go, wow, that really hurt. Wait a minute. There are people that are not like us that are not bad people. They're just not going to speak for us. Did you catch that? There are people that are not like us that are not bad people. There's people in this area, in this Quad State area, that are not bad people. But we're not going to fellowship a lot with them. They might have preachers that I would even probably go hear. But if they're not like us, I'm not going to tell you about it. Everybody doing okay? All right, here we go. Baptist politics will not be played from this pulpit or from this church anywhere. I ain't playing Baptist politics. I'm not running for office for anybody. I got the only office I need, the office of pastor, and it keeps me busy enough I don't need any other jobs. Number four, and I'm done, and you're glad. Aren't you glad it wasn't a five-block neighborhood? Doctrines and beliefs will be based on the Bible, not what other pastors and not what other churches say or do. Folks, the King James Bible is the Word of God. That's all we need. By the way, in our statement of faith, it doesn't say inspired in the original documents. If it's only inspired in the original documents, there is no inspired Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. That means it's eternal. It always has been and always will be inspired. Written on his vesture, the Word of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. You change the Bible, you're changing Jesus, and you're messing with an awful lot right there. I don't need to base my doctrines off what some fancy schmancy scissor britches idiot said in the pulpit one day. We've got Baptists, independent Baptist preachers that are preaching Catholic materials. They're trying to find new ways to present truth. And because they figured the Baptists, most of them didn't grow up in a Catholic church in their churches, they can go to the Catholics and find some little cute doctrine, sneak it into the church, and everything's okay. It's not okay. By the way, one of the doctrines we will practice and we will preach till the day I die is the doctrine of restoration. When people fall, they need lifted back up, and they don't care who it is, where it is, or how far they fall. I will live, breathe, and die, and have been for the last 33 years of preaching that doctrine, and I'm not changing it. By the way, God's not changing it either. Aren't you glad God still believes it? Because he saved your carcass from hell. By the way, church discipline doesn't mean somebody gets up and tells you everything they did. I am sick up to here with people. Well, you're just covering up people's sins. We need to be more transparent. Aren't you glad God's not? Matter of fact, he said, I'll cover your sins with blood. Show me one place in the Bible where it says we get up and talk about our sins in front of everybody. You want to play God's what you want to do. Everybody doing okay? By the way, you'll be glad for that when it's your family. You look down your Pharisaical snoot now, but you'll be glad when it's in your family or your house. By the way, everybody has the right to be restored. Just so you know. Thank God we have a God that believes that way. We're not going to follow the cutesy ways and trends of the contemporary thinking. There ain't nothing cutesy about me. It ain't good grammar, but it is good preaching. I don't want to be cutesy. I married one. That's all I need. I don't need to be it. Folks, this isn't the PTL club with Jim and Tammy Faye. I'm for reaching families. I'm for reaching mama. I'm for reaching daddy. I'm for reaching junior and juniorette and all the other juniorettes and juniors in there. However many there are. But guess what? It's not going to be the PTL club. It's not going to be Joel Osteen. I don't even know who the guy's name is. If I heard it, I'd know it. But he has a huge church, and in the last 6 months or so his son committed suicide. I can't even think of the guy's name all of a sudden. That's it, Rick Warren. I'm as much Catholic as I am Rick Warren. But may I say this? I prayed for his family. If that were my family and that were one of my children, I'd want somebody to pray for me. If Rick Warren believes what he preaches, he's going to die and go to hell because he doesn't even preach the gospel. Just so you know. But I still prayed for him. I wouldn't be unkind to him. Now, when it comes to his doctrine, he and I are separating ways real fast. But I wouldn't be unkind to the man. I hurt for him. Here we go. I'm really probably crossing a line here, but I don't give a rip. I crossed so many already. I don't know where the line is. We don't need psychology in our preaching. We need preaching. Everybody doing okay? Well, I like him. He does more talking and psychological evaluations as he speaks to us. My Bible says that a preacher is supposed to get up and sound like a trumpet. Did you hear those ladies playing the trumpets a little while ago? It wasn't real quiet. Deacons, remember the meeting we had in there and they started playing and we all jumped? We had rapture practice, amen? God says, lift your voice like a trumpet. Be heard. Not analyze somebody's thinking from the pulpit and let's psychologize you. Gag. We don't need CEO highbrowism in fundamentalism. I know churches that are now having their churches reanalyzed by the legal system because they're getting to be such large corporations. And now, to protect the pastor, we will have a board of directors handle all the finances, and all the pastor needs to do is preach and counsel. Well, I hate to tell you, it's going to be a cold day where the booger mantle is before that ever happens here. It's my job. I answer to God for every penny in this church. Now, legally, I have a board that helps me, and when it comes to big issues, they help me. And we vote on things when it comes to bigger issues, but guess what? We don't need to bring the electric bill, the water bill, the sewer bill, the trash bill to you every week and say, do you think we should pay this? Y'all doing okay? Why do I need somebody to tell me to pay the bills? We're not going to go spend $1.5 million, $2 million without everybody being in agreement on it. Trust me, because I can't pay that kind of stuff. I don't even like talking about it. Makes me nervous. But guess what? If it's God's will, it doesn't make me nervous. By the way, we need to reach common man and let God do uncommon things with them. We have gotten to the point in fundamentalism where we want to go out and reach the rich instead of reaching the common man and letting God change that common man to become rich. By the way, we'll not forsake the poor to reach the rich, but we're not going to forsake the rich to reach the poor either. Red and yellow, black and white, rich, poor. Poor as Job's turkey or poor, amen? I got to laughing yesterday. I was doing the wedding vows for Paul and Alicia. My wife and I had a joke before we got married. We were going to change the vows. Instead of for richer, for poorer, it was going to be for poor and for poorer. I was thinking of that while I was doing it and trying not to laugh. But you know what? The soul has no economic value. There's not a wallet in the pocket of a soul. I don't care if they're worth $1 billion or if they're in debt $1 billion. God loves them all and died for all of them. Let's reach them all. By the way, I'll finish with this. We will not gossip about each other, other Christians, or other churches in this church. Keep your mouth shut. If you don't have something good to say, don't say it. Well, if you knew what I know, if you knew what I know, you'd probably go tell on somebody. I just happen to have enough sense not to. And by the way, what good is it going to be if everybody knew about it anyway? Well, did you know? Who cares? It's a shame. I had a pastor call me this week. He said, Brother Bush, got a new convert, came to church, got saved, got baptized, went soul winning. 2 weeks after he got saved, somebody found out that he's on the list in the neighborhood. What do I do? I said, you let him come to church. I said, you protect him, put adults around him, protect his reputation, protect your church. I said, you can call some of these legal people. You can even call CLA, and they'll tell him, don't let him even step on the property of your church. I said, that's out of hell. I said, everybody. I said, do you know how many people are on that list that shouldn't even be on there? I said, I wouldn't put him in a Sunday school class with children to protect him. By the way, it's going to happen here. And I'm for it. That's called restoration. Everybody okay? Now, I won't have them teaching your children in children's classes. I'll use wisdom. But they got to have a place to go. By the way, that's called Bible doctrine. Well, did you know? You don't know it either unless it happened to you personally. You heard it from somebody that hurt, from somebody that hurt, from somebody that got it off of Facebook that didn't even know what the truth was anyway. Or what's that other thing you were talking about? What is it? Pinterest. I don't even know what the stupid thing was. Yeah, come back next week. We'll preach on that one. Oh, wait a minute. Folks, let me ask you a question. What's happened to our local churches? We've wanted to become nationalized. We want to keep up with the fancy schmancy places. Folks, plain old meat and taters, here you go. Well, we don't have, well then let's reach enough people and have it. Well, I'd like to, okay, let's reach enough people and let's do it. Get off your blessed assurance and get involved. Well, I think everybody else ought to do it, but I'm not going to. That goes back to that faith and risk thing we talked about. Need some of you just to step up. Help in the nursery. Help in Sunday school. Start helping with other things. It's time to step up. Time to serve. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Where have all the local churches gone? I'm glad you're here. We want you. But I hate to tell you, this church was chartered by God in heaven as an independent, fundamental, local church, and it's going to stay that way.